Now to the U.S. presidential campaign. For months, polls showed that the race between George W. Bush and John Kerry was extremely tight, with only a slim margin of voters yet to decide on a candidate. But that changed. This week, polls showed President Bush as many as 12 percentage points ahead, or depending on which poll you choose, in a dead heat with Senator Kerry. Day-to-Day's Mike Pesca tries now to nail down just how many votes are still in contention.
When John Kerry picked John Edwards as a running mate, the positive press coverage could be summed up by Newsweek's headline, "The Sunshine Boys." But the polls didn't move. After Democrats staged their convention in Boston, highlighting John Kerry as a war hero again, the polls didn't move. And right after the Republican National Convention, New York Times reporter Adam Nagorny summed up what we had been hearing at every step in the race. It seems safe to say, at least going into this week, none of these once reliable big moments have proved to be very big at all. And then came the post-convention polls. Time magazine said Bush Cheney 04 led by double digits. Frank Newport of the Gallup poll had these numbers.
Nationally, Bush is ahead by 7 points among likely voters, 52-45.
So the polls did move. What happened to the conditions that led the Christian Science Monitor to write about a seemingly frozen campaign, where, quote, pollsters say any post-convention bounce is likely to be small and at the margins? One of the pollsters saying that was John Zogby. The term he uses is elasticity, to describe how much ground a candidate can possibly gain. At the convention, Zogby says, President Bush did as well as he could have possibly hoped for.
It was within the elasticity and the outer reaches of that elasticity. So, I mean, you couldn't possibly have a bigger swing than 10 points. Bush got that 10 points.
The reason that Zogby categorizes that 10-point swing as the maximum is that he defines persuadable voters this way.
There's 5% hardcore undecideds in the U.S. Today. There's about 3 points off of Bush and 3 points off of Kerry that are weak supporters and that could possibly change. And so we have maybe about 10 to 12% of the total electorate to play with here.
But the Gallup poll says that swing voters range from 12 to 17% of the electorate. And Andrew Kohut, director of the Pew Research Center for the People and the Press, say pundits can be fooled if they don't take into account every vote that is really in play.
The analyst who focused only on the undecided vote, which is only about 5 or 6%, were, I think, exaggerating the extent to which the electorate had really made up its mind. The more sophisticated polling takes a very simple step of following up and asking people, well, might you change your mind? And when you get responses to that question, you find not 5 or 6%, but close to 20% saying either I'm undecided or I might change my mind.
All the pollsters I talked to said there were enough persuadable voters for Kerry to make a comeback or for the president to open up a much larger lead than he has now. If there's been a constant in this election, it hasn't been an immovable electorate. It's a media class and a punditocracy that has convinced itself that the present must be an accurate indicator of the future. 2 years ago, owing to his mile-high approval ratings, the president was deemed unbeatable. A year ago, Howard Dean looked like a sure Democratic nominee. A month ago, we were going to be deadlocked in the polls through November. And today, from inside the Beltway, the strains of taps are being played for the Kerry campaign. If we've learned anything, it's that debates or ads or gaffes or world events can and do have an impact on the election. For Day to Day, I'm Mike Pesca.